I want to reintroduce you to a friend of the program, good friend of mine, and David Barton. He is now running for the Oklahoma State Senate. He is the pastor of Fairview Baptist Church in Edmond, Oklahoma. His name is Paul Blair. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing well, Glenn. Thanks for having me. Good to see you.
Just a refresher, because you're a large guy, and I don't want to hack you off. You played for the Vikings and...
Chicago Bears.
Chicago Bears, mm-hmm. Okay. And then you became a pastor.
Yeah.
And now you want to run for the Senate.
A glutton for punishment.
Yeah, that's... why do you... Because I talked to you... How long ago was it? Eight months ago?
Yeah, last time was about 8 months ago. That's right.
Mm-hmm. And that wasn't in your cards at that time, was it?
Not at the time. It was a thought that was out there, but it certainly wasn't a certainty. But one of the things that's motivated me to do it is I introduced you to one of them a while ago with my oldest son, Joshua, here. I've got a 23-year-old and I've got a 21-year-old. And the unless the Lord comes first, the... America that they raise their children and grandchildren in is going to be the America that we leave them. So I could very easily just withdraw and go into my shell, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do everything I can to make a difference.
As a pastor, and I want to talk a little bit, because you teach the Constitution.
Absolutely.
in your church. Mm-hmm. And excuse me, I've got the most complicated chair in the world here, and I can't figure out which button does what. But
don't
anyways,
launch yourself.
Yeah, you teach the Constitution mm-hmm. in your church.
Sure.
How surprised were you at the way Christians behaved in this last primary?
Well, absolutely surprised. I couldn't see how a Christian or a Tea Party constitutionalist came to the conclusion.
Yeah, Constitution, just no, even that, the no. Constitutionalist.
Well, from a biblical perspective, you know, Exodus 18 gives us the criteria by which we're supposed to evaluate candidates. When Jethro, the father-in-law, said to Moses, choose out from among you capable individuals that fear God, love truth, and hate covetousness. Teach them the law. And of course, they had a constitutional republic, quite frankly. There were 12 sovereign tribes working together as one, and they weren't ruled by a king. They were ruled by the Torah, the Constitution. Teach them the law and have them be judges over tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands. Quite frankly, that was the birth of the republicanism, the republican form of government. And if you look at the criteria by which Christians are to evaluate candidates, well, let's see, capable? Well, there's an argument that you can make on a few of these guys for mm-hmm. business ability, but fears God?
Mm-hmm.
Loves truth and hates covetousness. Well, quite frankly, that
None
certainly weeds out the field.
Yeah.
So it makes it, but the reality is living by faith is not doing what you want to do and then praying for God to come and rescue out of your bad decisions. You know, we cannot continue to pray our way out of situations we've behaved ourselves into.
Right.
Living by faith, Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Living by faith means to actually glean out the truths of the Bible and make application in your life. So if we want to use the biblical process for selecting candidates, it's that one from Exodus 18.
I had Penn Jillette, good mm-hmm. friend of mine, atheist, mm-hmm. on this week, and he said, and it was pretty jarring, and he believes it, and so do I. Mm-hmm. He said, the end of the Christian reign of America is here soon. And he said, my people, he hates teams, but he meant it as atheist.
Right.
And the people who don't have a religion, they're going to be in charge very soon. Mm-hmm. And he was talking about how he was talking to the atheists. You can't treat Christians poorly.
Right.
You've got to live side by side. Let's not do to them what many of us claim they did to us.
Mm-hmm.
You are a pastor. You're talking sure. about, you know, spiritual things. You watched Ted and I got hammered.
Yeah.
Hammered for bringing up God. We're not in that country anymore. Is it just that Oklahoma is you're able to talk about these things and the people of Oklahoma?
Well, the situation is I fear God more than I fear man. So I'm not concerned. I'm not trying to win a popularity contest.
Yeah.
In a situation where, for example, in this race for the Senate, I am who I am. My record is out there.
Right.
If you want somebody that's going to fight for truth and fight for righteousness, that understands the principles of government and the limited purpose of government, then vote for me. If that's not what you want, if you want to continue going down the path of destruction that we're going down, then vote for somebody else. By all means, but my life does not hinge on being elected to public office. I am truly willing to serve in this capacity and get in there and rip the roots out of the corruption of our state government, if at all possible, if I'm given the opportunity to serve. So,
talk to me about, because maybe we have to take a quick break and then I'll have you come back and do this. You have you teach the mm-hmm. Constitution
sure.
In your church,
sure.
And there are a couple of pastors in the country that I know actually do lessons on the Constitution. So when I found out you were going to be on the show yesterday, I said, good, let's put him to the test. Teach the Constitution. We'll do that next. I want you to go back to the radio show today and listen to the first hour of the radio show, hour number one, segment one of today, because I started the show with, if we're conservatives, what does that even mean? And I'm beginning to lay out a framework of what it means to be a conservative, and I'd like to have your comments and your ideas and your input on it. But I think it was a good start today. Make sure you listen to that. One of the things we're going to try to be doing here come the fall is teach a lot more and in many different ways, but teach principles, values, and our history and Constitution. So Paul is with us, running for state senator in Oklahoma, and you teach the Constitution at your church, which I love.
Well, rumor had
it here.
Rumor had it you had a chalkboard around here.
Yeah.
Well, first of all, we don't even pretend to follow the Constitution anymore. We don't even make a vain effort to follow
right.
it.
Right.
Woodrow Wilson said in 1887, long before he was president, but he laid out, actually an article that was published in Political Science Quarterly, laid out his agenda for how to transform America. He said this, and I'll just summarize or paraphrase. He said, what one generation would resist but eventually accept, the next generation would accept it because their parents did, and the next generation would just operate under the assumption that it's always been that way. Well, that's what we're doing. Right now, we're not operating based upon what the Constitution says, but what we've been told that it means. By the way, I hate that guy.
I hate that guy.
Let's go back. Think of the very foundation, very first immigrants. We have the Pilgrims, devoted biblical worldview. By the way, the idea of having the Mayflower Compact, they understood that the Constitution was actually a biblical principle. Right. Deuteronomy chapter 17. Moses was told the children of Israel, said, God has given you this instruction. One of these days you're going to be dumb enough to ask for a king. And when you do, recognize that the king is bound by the rule of law, the Torah, the Constitution. He said, the king is not free to do whatever he wants to do. In fact, it specifically says the king can't turn to his left or to his right. He is bound to be the shepherd of the people according to the law. So this idea of having a constitution that defines and limits the governing authority actually is a biblical principle. But you see this biblical worldview passed on to the Puritans. Then, of course, the Great Awakening, the Great Revival of the early part of the 1700s, and then the Black Robe Regiment. You know, you've done so much with David here about the Black Robe Regiment. Those guys were the sons of Issachar, their generation. They recognized tyranny. You know, their forefathers had left it in Europe, and they recognized what was coming on the horizon, and they also understood that you cannot lose civil liberty and retain religious liberty. And let me explain real briefly. In order to enslave a person physically, you first have to enslave their minds. Mm-hmm. So for a totalitarian government to be successful, first of all, they have to nationalize education. Mm-hmm. Then you have to, Common Core, by the way, then you have to control the flow of information, because you're going to make decisions based upon what you believe the truth is, so you've got to control the media. And the third thing is there cannot be any freedom of conscience. You can't have the freedom to disagree with your government on moral grounds.
Yes.
So either you have an atheistic communism where there is no God, so by default, government becomes God. Government establishes what right and wrong is. Government grants rights, and government takes rights away, and there's no higher appeal than the government. Or you establish a theocracy, if they have in Iran or Saudi Arabia, where God and government are one and the same. By the way, that's what they were leaving in Old England, as King James was both the head of the church and the head of the state.
Right.
So to disagree with him was not only a heresy, but it was treason.
Right. So there's really no difference except one reads the Quran and one.
Yeah.
Holds
misreads
up the Bible.
Misreads the Bible.
We had, in many ways, a theocracy.
And if you remember in those days, like Tyndale, they were burned at the stake for translating scriptures because the Bible wasn't allowed to be in the common man's hands.
Right.
The common man had to go to the priesthood to be told what God said rather than being able to read it for himself.
Right.
Well, of course, you know, the Black Robe Regiment is what led to the Declaration of Independence. Then 13 colonies became 13 states. With a stroke of a pen. You had 13 sovereign countries, but they had a common foe, Great Britain, which was invading them to try to restore British supremacy. Well, they entered into a constitution, a working agreement, a voluntary union, the Articles of Confederation. That was first drafted in 1787, ratified in 1781. That's what they operated under, this union of states. And if you read the Articles of Confederation, it says they worked together for the common defense and the general welfare. Well, you get all the way down to 1787, the Constitutional Convention. There was disagreements as to whether this current document was strong enough. They were going to get together to amend it and tighten it. But of course, once they got there, there were some other plans under the table that they weren't aware of, and they wound up at the end of the day coming up with a whole new Constitution. We got to understand what the Constitution is, first of all. You don't have to have a Constitution to have a government. If you have a king, he can just dictate rules. But if you're going to have a limited government that's answerable to the people, accountable to the people, and is defined, then you have to have a constitution constituting a limited government. Here's what, we don't understand any of this anymore. Three branches, we've all been told they're co-equal. Quite frankly, they're not. Article 1, the legislature is the only body that has the ability to make law. And then only they can make law in 17 enumerated areas. They don't have unlimited power. All this stuff makes great sense. The people are represented by the House. By the way, all spending bills must begin in the House. Why is that? Because there's people. No such thing as public funds.
Mm-hmm.
The government doesn't have any money. Mm-hmm. The only money they have is yours. What they take from us in taxes or what they borrow and we're on the hook to repay. So all spending must begin in the House. And then you've got the Senate representing the states. These two together made law. Then you've got the executive. His job was to carry out the will of the people as orchestrated through the legislature. I found this most interesting. Over the first five presidents, the founding era presidents, you got George Washington, two terms. You got John Adams, two terms, or one term. You got Thomas Jefferson, two terms. You've got James Madison, two terms. James Monroe, two terms. Over 36 years, they issued a total of 10 vetoes and 15 executive orders. Total over 36 years, because they didn't realize that they were supposed to rule with a phone and a pen. They believed that they were limited and their job was to carry out the will of the people. And then the judiciary, they were an afterthought. They were first in the basement of the Capitol. And if you look at Article 3, Section 2, they have very limited authority. Most of what they're doing now is illegal and unconstitutional. But the big debate at the Constitutional Convention was between the two political parties. Who would have ever seen that happen? The Federalists and the Anti-Federalists. And they were debating over this stronger general government and the risk that they ran of this thing growing out of control. And at the end of the day, the Federalists won the battle, and they were assured, they assured everybody that there's no way this can grow out of control because we have written everything down in the Constitution, and we have specifically defined the few and defined powers that this general government can do. If we've got Federalist 45 up here, this was the Federalist Papers, number 45, deals with this issue specifically. It says this is not the entirety of the quote, but it assures that the few and defined powers going to Washington are only in times of war or negotiating with foreign trade and foreign commerce. Mm-hmm. That everything else that's not specifically given to Washington, D.C. is retained by the states. So basically everything that takes place around the exterior of the United States is the general government's business. Everything that takes place inside our states is our business. Now this covers a litany of things, from moral issues to trade issues. There's no place in there for a Department of Education.
There's no place for the government to tell us who uses whose bathrooms.
Absolutely, absolutely right.
You know, if you're in San Francisco, that might make sense for San Francisco, but it doesn't make sense for you.
Well, see, that's the beautiful thing about it. As we've just seen, you were talking in the opening monologue about the primaries and what we've just gone through. We're not going to get 320 million people to agree about anything. We're all over the board. You got Bernie Sanders supporters over here. Exactly.
We weren't supposed to.
The idea of the Federalist system, the design of our Constitution, is liberal states were free to be liberal, conservative states were free to be conservative. We couldn't impose our will on each other, but we voluntarily work together for the common defense and the general welfare. If Massachusetts wants to establish a single-payer health care system, well, good luck with that.
Right.
If California wants to tax themselves at 90% and create some sort of Jerry Brown socialist utopia, well, good luck, boys. It's not going to work for you, but go ahead and give it a try. But you can't impose your bad ideas on the other states. We have the ability to compete in the marketplace of ideas. Again, we're free, but we work together for those few and defined areas, the common defense and the general welfare.
Okay, great lesson. Let's come back then and talk about what's happening in Oklahoma, because quite honestly, Oklahoma, Texas, those are these are important states. Absolutely. For conservatives. And I'm worried about Texas. I'm really worried about Texas and Oklahoma, especially with what the Republicans did in the state house Common Core. Mm-hmm. I want to hear your opinion on that and what you think the solution is. Back in just a second. Paul, you know, because you've been a watcher, mm-hmm, and a listener of mine for a very long time, you know that I used to say, we surround them. I don't believe that anymore. Mm-hmm. I don't believe that anymore. And in the break, we were just talking about Christians. You know, they're statistically exactly like the rest of the population. Same divorce numbers, same cheating, mm-hmm, same stealing, same moral stats. No difference from the rest of the population. Mm-hmm. We're talking to an increasingly small group of people when you want to talk about God. People will talk about God, but not a lot of people will live it. What you just explained was biblically based. Mm-hmm. Why you're running is because you feel compelled to, mm-hmm, for your children, for the next generation, but also, mm-hmm, I imagine, God.
Absolutely.
You're going to need him, mm-hmm, because you're going to be alone, even in Oklahoma. Mm-hmm. When I heard what happened, can you explain what happened with Common Core in Oklahoma? It's obscene.
Oklahoma has no one to blame but ourselves. We have a supermajority. You know, we'd been taught for years that the Democrats were to blame for everything.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd operated under that idea.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we've got supermajority Republican control of the House. We've got supermajority Republican control of the Senate. We've got a Republican in every statewide office, and nothing changes in the state of Oklahoma. It's the Common Core issue came back up this last year under a different name. What's interesting is some of the experts that our state had appealed to help redesign the new standards didn't sign off on them. They said, hey, these are way too loose. Common Core testing is going to be able to be brought back in here. And if you have Common Core-based testing, then you're naturally going to be teaching Common Core. Mm-hmm. This is not good enough. We don't approve of it. And the powers that be in the state just shot them down. The few legislators that actually stood up on principle and fought for this thing were shot down. And the most shocking thing is there was like a 30-day timeline,
yeah,
before this just went into effect automatically.
Uh-huh.
And our Republican control state Senate on two consecutive days met, had their opening prayer, and dismissed adjourned. Immediately.
Yeah.
Adjourned.
So nobody in the House could bring...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Just so the clock would run out and this would be put into place.
It was obscene.
So the people... And that's one of the reasons why I'm running. You know, I've been an active pastor for a long time, and we've got a pretty considerable network. We've got our statewide radio ministry. Again, my focus is Oklahoma. I want to help all the other states, but Oklahoma is where I've been stationed, and that's where I've been born and raised and grown up. But we have been able to put together a Facebook following of 22,000 plus. We've got some 60,000 email addresses. If I am elected to the state house, I will be shining the light of truth on the darkness, and the people will know what's going on down there, because most of us don't know the political games that are being played at the Capitol. Well, that's one of those things we will know, and we will call people to account and hold them accountable.
Most people didn't know. Every single person I talk to in Washington who I trust, mm-hmm, says to me, Glenn, you think you know. You have no idea. They've all said that to me. You have no idea what is happening. And they all point to House of Cards, mm-hmm, and say, without shoving somebody in front of a train,
right,
everything in that, right, is exactly right. I didn't realize until, recently, last couple of years, how sick, mm-hmm, and how bad,
yeah,
the Republicans are. You just said it was, mm-hmm, super majorities.
Mm-hmm.
Nevada had the same thing. Super majorities. Mm-hmm. Give us the House, give us the Senate, and give us the governor,
mm-hmm,
and we're going to do things. Well, they did do things that the Democrats could never do. They raised the taxes higher than anybody's ever raised them in the past.
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to deal with your own I mean,
we'll see. We're working on Oklahoma. And of course, you know, like I said, God does his greatest work when the hour's darkest. This is a deal that's far beyond human strength or ability. But if God is in this, then we'll be able to get it done. But the reason I'm focusing on states like Oklahoma and Texas, because we still have some common sense. We have that can-do spirit. We still at least claim to have a certain reverence for God and respect for the scriptures. But I've quit focusing on Washington almost exclusively. And I've got friends up there, Jim Bridenstine, Steve Russell, some of these guys that are friends of mine that I support. The reality is that Washington is not to the solution of the problem. Washington is generally the cause of the problem. Mm-hmm. And we send a few people up there every couple of years and fail to realize that there are 12,000 lobbyists inside the Beltway. Mm-hmm. And they are all whining and dining our elected representatives, trying to fight for their share of a $4 trillion budget, most of which is illegal, that they have no right mm-hmm. to be touching to begin with. And we also have to understand man's sinful human nature. You know, it goes back to our founding fathers, John Adams and others. You know, government's always a danger when it's in somebody else's hands. Mm-hmm. But once it's in my possession, well, you know, power and money is not a bad mm-hmm. thing for me to have.
That's right.
So nothing ever changes in Washington. That's why the design was a separation of powers, because the concentration of powers on that city on the Potomac has done nothing but lead us into $200 trillion in unfunded mandates, $20 trillion of debt, and all sorts of infringements of tyrannical actions on the states and we the people. Quite frankly, some of the slides that I do a comparison of the statements in the Declaration of Independence that we were complaining about King George. We're doing the exact same thing, only they were politically savvy enough to recognize tyranny, and unfortunately we're not.
Ted Cruz went to mm-hmm. Washington, mm-hmm. stood for his principles, mm-hmm. stood hard.
Yeah.
Knifed
yeah.
in the back. Harder to take the knives yeah. in the back yeah. than it is in the chest.
Yeah, because
you can't get those out.
Yeah.
And I know mm-hmm. Ted was pretty disheartened. He thought
yeah.
when push came to shove,
yeah.
they're gonna come because that's who they are.
Yeah.
No, that's not who they are.
Right.
You get into the Senate in Oklahoma. Advice on how you're going to take the knives out of your back from your so-called friends.
Well, hopefully my real friends will be able to help and comfort and console, but here's my optimism. Here's where I think we've got some hope. If you go down and watch your state government in action, in Oklahoma, you'll watch these pontificating, bloviating, arrogant individuals on the floor use parliamentary procedure and give their long speeches, and then when the floor leader or House leader or Senate leader calls for a vote, you'll see grown men and women get up from their desks and sprint to get off the floor.
Mm-hmm.
The reason being is they want to be recorded as absent from the floor, so they're not actually on record for or against something.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, just as Proverbs says, there's four types of people. There's the scornful, there's the fool, there's the wise, and then there's the simple or the naive. I think that there is enough people down there that really would like to do the right thing. Now, we certainly have our share of scornful, those that say, you know, up
yeah,
yours,
yeah,
God,
yeah.
I don't want anything to do with you. And then you've got the fool that says, I don't need God, I've got it all figured out in my own mind. But I think that there are enough down there that want to do the right thing, as I've met them and seen them. But quite frankly, a lot of times it's like this. They don't know what they don't know what truth is.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have,
that's
they don't know to do.
Exactly, so
exactly.
Okay, I've got about 30 seconds. How do people get involved?
PaulBlairForOK.com. Paul Blair for OK. I learned this from watching Cruz. PaulBlairForOK.com. 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 Go to the
work website,
sign in there. We could use your money. Hopefully, Oklahoma can help lead the way in restoring the Constitution to the United States.
Paul, I'm proud of what you're doing in your church, and I think more churches need to teach the Constitution. It's not a radical idea.
Mm-hmm.
It is the law of the land that came from God, and I wish you the best, and we'll pray for you on your trip to the Senate in Oklahoma. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Glenn.
Back in just a minute.